As you know, some composers specialize just in writing guitar music or just in writing band music and perhaps just in writing choral music. But for me, I've really spent my life making pieces of all different kinds. And I find it very invigorating to write let's say, a solo piano piece, followed by a piece for the Berlin Philharmonic, followed by a piece for 12-year-old girls' chorus in San Francisco, followed by a string quartet, and so on and so forth. They, in a way, the pieces feed one another, and it becomes a chain link of creativity, switching genre to genre. One of the other things that interests me a great deal about composing is to tailor-make the pieces for the ensemble. So, for instance, if it is the San Francisco Girls Chorus of 12-year-old girls, one is going to tailor-make it for that beautiful color, their sublime technique, their purity of sound and vibrato. So instantly one starts to have musical ideas that would suit that genre.
You said you follow this, which indicates there's a chronological sort of thing. Are you done with one before you begin the other?
Good question. I do. I can only write one at a time because I get so obsessed about the pieces and go over them and over them and over them. I have terrible insomnia and I get really in full focus and captured by the pieces. And therefore, if I were to try to write two pieces at once, it would sort of be like butter and chocolate, and I'd end up making brownies. The two would melt together. They just would. So I finish one piece and have a big, stiff cup of coffee and start the next one as a completely new adventure, a new journey.
The piece that we will hear for the world will hear for the first time Friday night, Floating Temples. What is the time that you have when someone like the University of Arkansas or Northwestern University or a girls' choir ask you to compose something?
For most busy composers, the timeline is about 2 years. So, for instance, the University of Arkansas was kind enough to call me about 2.5 years ago, and we started planning the project and picking the dates way, way, way in advance. I also do projects, for instance, for private people. For instance, there was a doctor whose wife was having her 50th birthday, and he thought instead of buying her a ring or a silver bowl or something, he'd like to commission a small piece in her honor. So some composers fit things like that in, and you can probably do those within a year if you have a year of warning. But the big pieces,
warning, I like that.
One wants to do a good job, sure. And you don't want to just quickly throw something together for somebody's 50th birthday. You want to really make it nice, and also, of course, you need time for the performers to learn it. So even if I finish a piece 6 months before the premiere, the performers really want the music for at least 3 months, and then there's a rehearsal period. So things back out pretty quickly. For instance, for Floating Temples, my part of the project was due in last October. So that's about 8 months ago, or whatever that is. I mean, it's a long time ago where the university received all of the music and parts and scores and things of that kind so that they could start to plan their rehearsal process.
Floating Temples will have the world premiere Friday night. A couple of other pieces are going to be heard in Walton Arts Center the next week. UA symphonic bands, including one called Magnetic Fireflies, which W. Dale Warren tells me is just fantastic.
Mr. Warren is an amazing man. I'm so lucky to work with him and with his band. I feel very, very blessed for that chance. And he's done a terrific job preparing Magnetic Fireflies, as well as a short fanfare of mine called Ring Flourish Blaze. Magnetic Fireflies is one word, Magnetic Fireflies. And the idea is either it's a magnetic fire flying or it's magnetic little bugs, the fireflies, or what, sort of just a certain kind of image. The piece ends with approximately 20 percussionists playing bells, which at the very, very end, it gets very loud and they ring in the air for up to about 40 seconds, as if it were a magnetic fire flying out into the air and then very, very gently decaying. And I've always been fascinated with the way in which a complex of bells decays. Of course, the clamorous moment at which they are speaking is quite intense, but when everyone stops hitting them and you have the decaying ring, it's never the same twice, and it's a very complex sound to analyze and very, very beautiful. So the piece ends with this huge, long trail, as if a pulsar or something was leaving its whispery trail in the sky.
Can you hear that in your head as you're composing?
Yes.
And if you're composing for a choir of 12-year-old girls? Can you, do you think I want this to be more like oh or ah or something like that?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah, I hear it all in my head, and I sing it. The thing about the bells decaying, one can imagine it, but because you have, let's say, 40 bells being struck by 20 men and women, you know, you can't imagine the exact sound, because in that case, it's never the same twice, but you can imagine the aura and the feel and the general complex. On the other hand, writing Floating Temples, I know exactly what the violin pizzicato will sound like, and exactly what the harp will sound like, and exactly what the tenors will sound like, because those are things I played on the piano and touched and sang myself, and are more predictable than the decay of a bell.
When you're coming up on a world premiere, you work with the musicians if possible. Well, where will you be Friday night? You'll be in the hall, I imagine. Is it a nervous time for you, or have you already worked with it so much that the confidence is there? And
well, in some ways, my favorite moment in a new piece is the first rehearsal, when it all comes together for the first time. And it's never perfect, of course. It shouldn't be. People are just adjusting to the notations and adjusting to what the other musicians are playing or singing. And the first rehearsal is tonight. Tonight is Wednesday, and we have a rehearsal Wednesday and Thursday. So two rehearsals and then the show on Friday. So right now I'm a little nervous because I haven't heard anything. And the show is in 48 hours, and it's a huge piece. I mean, I know they've done a terrific job preparing. I'm not nervous in that sense. I'm just nervous in my own body. But on Friday, I will have heard the two rehearsals. And for me, it's a moment of great honor to be able to share my piece with your community and that they commissioned it. And I think one other thing to point out that people don't always focus on, composers generally write one big piece a year. I mean, some do more, and you might do a big piece and a small piece in a year, but we're talking about one big piece. And some do less than that. Some do one big piece every 4 years. I do about one big piece a year, and I'm 45. So let's say I live 30 more years, let's just say, or 40 more years. We're only talking about another 30 of these evenings. You know, in other words, people think that these world premieres come in all over again and again. But for a composer, there are very special days in one's life. And if I die soon, it might be my last world premiere or something. So for composers, they are special occasions. They're rare. They come maybe once a year, once every 2 years. So I think the audience maybe doesn't realize how much goes into it. I've been working on this for 2 years, and then they receive the piece for 20 minutes. And then, of course, the musicians have been working on it for months. So there's people have had different time durations with the music. And then, of course, the music critic hears it once for 20 minutes and then writes the review that millions of people will finally read, even though that person had the least experience with the piece. It's all very kind of interesting.
Is there any melancholy for you at the end of a night like that? I mean, you've spent so much time with this piece, and then that moment has that first moment has gone?
There's a happiness that the piece is out there and breathing and alive in the world. And, yeah, there's a little bit of a you sort of, your heart goes down a notch because it's over. You work so hard on it. It's like a big opening, and then the minute it's over, you kind of, your blood pressure goes down a notch. But one of the things that's so important about commissioning new music is that we need to keep our culture growing. I love Beethoven and I love Tchaikovsky, but we can't keep only playing those works. And I think it's so wise for the university to have commissioned a significant work, not a 3-minute opener and not a little fanfare or not a 7-minute something. I mean, they've commissioned a huge piece for chorus and orchestra. And that's a major statement on behalf of the university. And so that's something really to celebrate, and one of the things we all take away from that is the recording. We are going to document the project with video, DVD of everything that we've been doing together all week, but also a recording of the music. It won't be commercially released, but we will have a nice document. So you were asking if I have a down moment. One of the things that we can all share when we have a down moment is to listen to it again, and that's so important because some people commission new big works and don't even run the recording machine. It just evaporates into thin air, which is insane. But here, of course, they're doing everything exactly right, and it will be nicely recorded, and therefore we can continue to hear the piece, and that will also maybe allow others to hear it who might program it. And then the piece can have a life.